We started a series last week, and it's entitled God's Practical Prescription for Peace. And sometimes I don't know when I'm putting together a message whether it's just going to be one or four or six. And it all depends on what God does in those first few messages. Last week, God birthed, if you will. He birthed in us, started a series. In my spirit, I have been feeling like there is just a heaviness, a spiritual heaviness over people. Not only here, but other places as well. And you can feel that weight. You can feel that weight. And that is the very thing that God does not want us to carry. Amen. Amen. He wants for us to lay these things down, to lay it at his feet. Does that mean that we're not going to feel it anymore? Does that mean that we're not going to have more problems? Of course not. Of course not. But we don't need to carry it alone. We don't need to carry it alone. And we talked last week about that painting, that picture of the sand, the beautiful seashore, you know, and the footprints that are there. And it's just one set of footprints, you know. And the person is saying there, Lord, why is it when the most difficult times came in my life that I see only one set of footprints? Why did you leave me? How could you do that? You promised you would never leave me, and look what you did. And the Lord responds in this picture, says, I never left you. It was during those times I carried you. I carried you. You couldn't walk. I carried you. I carried you. God's word is plastered, just plastered with scriptures that are meant to do that very thing. To carry you, to permeate your mind, your soul with peace. Things, scriptures, the word that is meant for you to take strength. How many of you know that in this life we get knocked down? We get knocked down. We're punched right in the face by life, huh? We're kicked right in the gut by life. And it knocks us down, and it's hard to get back up again. It's hard. But it's during those very times, the decisions that we make determine the outcome of that battle. Amen? We're injured. We're beat up. But we're not out of the fight. Amen.
Amen.
Our God promises to stand with us. He's going to strengthen us. He is our strength.
Amen.
He is our strength. That's where we get it from. And I'm excited, even though I know in my heart, and in my heart is hurting. For those of you who are hurting today, and I know there's many of you that are hurting today and that are carrying weight around, but there is hope. Oh my God, there is hope, friends. There's hope in the Word of God. There's hope in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the same power that we just celebrated that rose Jesus from the grave is behind us, is in us, it lives in us. That same power. That same power. And all of heaven is cheering you on. All of the faithful forefathers in the Faith Hall of Fame are shouting, go! You can do it, go!
Amen.
All of heaven is shouting for you and cheering for you. Get up! Get up! Don't lay Don't stay down. Keep moving. Hallelujah. All Moses and all of those great men, Abraham, David, all of our forefathers are standing there and they're just cheered. They're shouting. All of heaven, all of the angels, the Lord himself is cheering on for you. Get up. Get up. Keep moving. It's not over. It's not over. Get up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just breathe in his presence today. Just let his presence, the holy presence of God, just wash over you today. That's why worship is so important. We're doing battle when we're worshiping. You know that? We're doing serious battle when we're worshiping because the enemy can't fight that. He can try to distract us, and he will. But when we worship, when we're in the presence of God, that's where the power is, friends. That's where the power is. And the more things that would come against you, the more you need to pray. The weaker you feel, the more you need to pray. As much as I have the need to eat, to keep myself nourished, to this degree and more do I have the need to be in God's presence. That's where the answer is. As much as food nourishes me, God's presence, his word, his prayer are my food. They nourish me. The more responsibilities that I have that require my attention, the more I need Jesus. The more stress that would threaten me and come on me, the more I need to pray. Amen. The more circumstances would cause me to freeze in fear, the more I need to be in the presence of God. The more pain in my body that would disable me, the more I need to pray. Amen. God is the source of everything I need. He is the water I thirst for, the food I hunger for. Amen. He satisfies my every need. He is your answer.
Yes, he is. Amen.
The presence of God dispels all of the darkness and the fear. How many of you know that if you allow it, fear will overtake you? It will rob you of your sleep.
Yes, it will.
It'll turn your stomach to rot.
Yes, it will.
It'll cloud your thinking.
Yes.
Fear. Fear. Do not fear. How many times in the Bible did Jesus say, do not be afraid? Do not be afraid. I am here. There's peace. He speaks peace to you today. Drink it in. Drink it in. Let it permeate your mind. In Hebrews chapter 12, turn there with me if you would. This here is the Faith Hall of Fame, if you will. And in chapter 11, it talks about how these certain men of God, Noah and Abraham and Moses and so on and so forth, believed when it was risky. When it was risky.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, this is the sideline of which I spoke. These people, these faith-filled people, are standing on the sidelines, shouting to you from heaven, keep going. Keep going. These are the very ones we're talking about. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us what? Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance. Now there's a word that is important to God. You can't have faith without perseverance. Do you understand that? Perseverance is like this. You're getting hit and it knocks you down and you get up and you're wobbly, but you keep going forward. You get hit again from the other side and you're knocked down and you keep moving forward. Something hits you from behind. Bam! You're on the ground. You get up and you keep moving forward. Perseverance. Perseverance. You keep moving forward when everything within you says, I can't do it. God says, you can do it. You can do it because I am with you. I am with you. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I think of the times years ago, mind you, I was on the track team, okay? And I was more of a sprinter than a long-distance runner, but there was a few things that I did. Guys couldn't make it for various reasons, and they threw me in there in these longer races because they had nobody else. Okay? Not that I was that good. But I was there to fill a gap. And I remember my short little legs, I thought my lungs were going to collapse. And I had nothing left in me. And I had nothing but the training that I had done in practice. Do you understand? The practice, the rehearsal, the training is the thing that carries you on. And there's something inside of you that is right here. Your mind is fighting what your body is telling it. Because your body is saying, I can't do it. I got nothing left in the tank, man. I'm done. And your brain is saying, oh, yes, you can. And you will. And so it's a battle between your mind and your body. In those times, and you're just digging it out, you're just giving it whatever you have and whatever you can. You just keep going. That's perseverance. That's perseverance. Let us fix our eyes, hallelujah, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus, we just studied these things, the things that he went through, leading up to and going to the cross. And the things that he suffered. And Jesus was enduring. Jesus was persevering in the Garden of Gethsemane when he had told his brothers, stay here while I go and pray. Pray. Pray for me. And so he goes on ahead. He comes back, and what are they doing? They're sleeping. All right? And what does he ask God? He says, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but yours be done. Let yours be done. There is a purpose in the pain, friends. There is a purpose in the pain. God is always bringing out of us strength that we didn't know was there. When our spirits say, I've had enough, God says, you watch how much that you can do. And he takes our faith and he just stretches it a little farther. He stretches us farther. And when we're all done with that battle, and we will be done, that battle will be won. Yeah. And when we come through that on the other side, yeah, we're stronger. And then we hear somebody else that's going through the very same thing. And what do? We come alongside and we say, friend, let me tell you what God did for me. Amen? Amen? Let me tell you what God did for me, when I was where you are. I'm still here. I'm still standing. Praise God. God is faithful. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses us as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes everyone he accepts as a son. And listen to this. Endure hardship as discipline. Wait a minute. Whoa. I don't like discipline. Not a pleasant memory of mine. Endure hardship, verse 7, as discipline. God is treating you as sons and, yes, daughters. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. Yeah? Never pleasant at the time, ever. But we knew what was coming. We knew they were right in doing it. And afterwards, we respected them for it. We may have even thanked them for it. Moreover, verse 10, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and what? Peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, here's the underline here. All this stuff added up here, plus, 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 plus. Underline, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. How many of you know when you're in the middle of a battle, your arms are tired and your knees are knocking? Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. You know what that's saying? So that even though you're hurt, you're not out of the fight.
Right.
It's not going to end there for you. Praise the Lord. I want to go to John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. Peace. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. I've told you these things so that you may have peace. The disciples had some difficult things coming. Jesus was preparing them. And everything that he did. I want you to be at peace. I'm going to be leaving you in a little while. You're going to see me beat up. You're going to see me killed at the hands of evil men. But I'm telling you, I'm leaving my peace with you. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Jesus is telling them. Now listen to this. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. But he says, take heart, friends. Look here. Hey, right here. Right here. I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Don't worry. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Back a few chapters, chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, he doesn't want us to be afraid. And there's a scripture that says, the righteous will live by what? Faith, not by sight. If we're looking at all that's going on around us and we take our eyes off of our master, our shepherd, we're going to tremble in fear and cower and hide someplace. But if we walk by faith, eyes on the master, all this other stuff will take its place. Do you understand? Eyes on the master always. And all these other things will take their place. My peace, he says, I leave with you. John 14:1. I'm kind of going backwards here a little bit, but he starts off with, he's talking to his disciples. He's comforting them. And he says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. There's some bad stuff coming, but don't be fearful. Don't worry about it. Don't let it rob your joy. How many of you know that life can rob you of joy? How many of you know that people can rob you of your joy? Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1. Some of you may know this by heart. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What are you, insane? Consider it pure joy. Yeah. Like that's going to happen. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops, there it is, perseverance. Perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. God wants for his people, his children, to be complete, to be mature, not lacking anything. He wants us to be ready. Do you understand? There's a purpose in the pain. God's prescription, practical prescription for peace, right here in the Word of God. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, having everything. Praise God. In Luke 12, I just want to show you the way Jesus is talking to the disciples as he's comforting them and preparing them. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Now listen, just this little phrase, part of a sentence, okay? He says, do not be afraid, little flock. Little flock. He is our shepherd. We're his little flock. We're his sheep. And he's telling us, don't be afraid. Don't fear, little flock. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Don't be afraid. Don't worry. I've got you. You're not going anywhere. There's nothing that's going to be able to rip you out of my hands. Nothing. Nothing. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength. And listen to this, our ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present. That just means always. Ever-present. Always there. He is our refuge and our strength. An ever-present help in trouble. Oh, the Word of God. Just let it wash over you. Let His Word build you up and strengthen you and set you back on your feet again. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Now, this is Paul talking here, and he's talking about this thorn in the flesh, he calls it. All right, thorn in my side, something bugging him. All right. We're not exactly sure what that is. Some speculate that it could be some problem with his eyes, you know, or this or that. There's a number of different things it could be. But it says, listen, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. I just love the way he puts that. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, he says. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. How many times, friends, do we ask God, take this away from me. Just take it all away. Take me out of this problem. Take my pain away. Make it all better. Isn't that what we want? Take me out of this trouble. Get me out of here. Take me out of this pit. I don't want to be here. It's painful. It's scary. I don't know where it's headed. Sometimes the unknown is the thing that really grips you, isn't it? Not knowing where this is headed, not knowing where this is going to end up, is the thing that creates fear.
That's right.
But listen to this. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. So Paul was no different. Get me out of here. Take this away from me. I don't want to suffer like this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Think about that. My power is made perfect in weakness. So when we're troubled, when we're fearful, when we're hurting, we are weak. And isn't it then that God's strength and his power is so evident in our lives, because all of ours is gone. It's gone. We spent it all. And yet we continue to move on. We continue to take steps forward, ever so slowly sometimes, but we keep moving forward. It's never pleasant. It's never easy, but God promises us we'll get through it. We'll get through it. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Isn't that something? And it's only many times, okay, I'm going to say that. Many times it's when we're at our weakest point when God rescues us. In the midnight hour, they would say. At the last second, God comes through. My dad used to have this saying, and you've heard him say it, and you've heard me say it. God is never late, but he's seldom early. Yeah, isn't that the way it is? God's never late, but he's seldom early. That's true. Okay? He'll come through for you. In your weakness, you will see his strength. You keep your eyes on the Master. A prescription for peace. Hallelujah. And I just want you to turn here, and I'll close with this scripture. Nehemiah 8. When was the last time you were in Nehemiah? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day, now listen, is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Never allow anything to steal your joy. Physical afflictions, don't let them steal your joy. Naysayers, they're really good at stealing joy. You can't do that. Nobody does things like that. Nobody in our family ever done that before. Blah, blah, blah. You can't do that. You'll never make it. Bunch of naysayers. They try to steal your joy. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Friends, it's possible to be joyful in the midst of trial. It's possible to be joyful in the midst of trial. Okay? Seek that. Keep that joy. Every morning, God's mercies, the Bible says, are renewed every morning. And we talked about this before. Maybe you don't have enough strength, and maybe it scares you to death to look forward a year from where you are in the midst of that battle. And it scares you because I don't know where that's going to take me. Or maybe you can't even look a month out. Maybe you can't look a week out. But I can get through today.
There you go.
I can get through today.
Amen.
All right? There was times when I was dealing with my own back disability, okay, when I couldn't even handle that. I had to get to lunch. Okay? You follow me?
Yeah.
I could get to lunch. And that was the way it was going for me. I was literally crawling through my days. I remember after one of my surgeries, I was down for a long time. For a long time. Physically. And every time I tried to move, it would just make me shout with pain. It was painful to me. And I remember finally getting up off of my bed and taking a walker, and I had to get from my bedroom to the kitchen, which is just the next room, okay? And I remember that was all I could do. It was so painful, that's the only thing I could do. And I'm walking as a 30-something-year-old man with this walker from my bedroom to my kitchen and then back. And after a while, I just kept doing that over and over. And then pretty soon, I could make it farther. And then before you know it, I was making it to the end of the house. All right? And then before you knew it, I could do it a couple times. And you keep moving. And you keep going.
Amen.
You keep your joy. You keep your eyes on the Master. And all of this other stuff, all the thing that's going on in your life, all of the physical problems, spiritual problems, family problems, work, and so on and so forth, you fill in the blank. All that stuff will take its place. All your bills, they'll be waiting there for you. They ain't going to go nowhere. Okay, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. Trust me, they'll wait for you. Okay? They will. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. You keep your eyes on the Master. Amen?
Amen?
He's got you just like this. He's got you just like this. And I remember, would you stand with me today? And I remember just feeling so hurt and so down. I felt like I wasn't much of a man because I couldn't provide for my family. I couldn't work. At the time, I couldn't even go to school. And I was miserable. And I felt like a worm. I mean, literally, my self-esteem was in the toilet. But God sustained me through those times. God was near me. He made a way for me where there seemed to be no way. God can do that for you. And I remember somebody spoke a word to me, and I don't remember who it was, but I remember what it said, and it said, God is going to feed you from his own hands. God is going to feed you from his own hands. And I'm here today as a testimony of God's power and strength. Not that I am anything at all, but I know what God did for me. 15, almost 16 years of disability, pain in my back. Then one day,
hallelujah,
after I had stopped asking, because I was pretty sure that if I had asked that many times, God, if he wanted to, would have healed me. One day, God healed me. What the doctors couldn't do, God did by himself. God is your source of strength. He is your refuge. He is your high tower of strength. You look to him, you will never be disappointed.